Bible, turn to Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15. And I want to help you tonight. Proverbs chapter 15. We're going to read verses 13 through 18 together. And then I'll read one other verse to you. But Proverbs chapter 15, verses 13 through 18. And let's read this passage responsively. Proverbs 15, 13 through 18. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by the sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. And I'm going to read chapter 16, verse number 8 to you. It should be just across the page or so. But Proverbs 16, 8 reads, better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. And let's pray. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you'd help us tonight. Lord, thank you that Grace Baptist Church is a hospital. This is not a museum where we put people and things on display, but it's a place we come to get help. And Lord, we need help. We stand before you needy. May we take of the medicine of the sermon tonight, though it may be simple, though it might be even a bit at times too simple for some, the truth is so deep. I pray that you'd help us in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would be seated there, let me, twice in this passage, there's a statement used, better is little than, and then it changes, and then said better is little than much. Better is little than great. tonight's sermon, I hate to tell you this, I preached this to a couple elementary chapels. I preached it to children, but I can't get away from it, and I've reworked it and reworked it and reworked it because the truth is very profound. This is not a complicated truth, but, and I'm including me in on this, we fail at this truth way too much. We fail at it way too much. Children will be able to easily understand the sermon tonight. And some of us that are kids at heart, we've forgotten it and we need it, a good dose of it. So here we go. Don't let its simplicity, though, make you think it's not important. Listen to this very carefully. Have you ever joked around with someone and then they got their feelings hurt? You were just playing, but then they got their feelings hurt. Did you ever get in trouble for playing around because you were the last one that got caught? That was me. Joe, what are you shaking your head for? Never, never, never. Yeah. You know, everybody else did it, and the teacher said, quit that, but you did it. And then you got in trouble. And then you said, well, everybody else did it, but they did it before she said stop. Amen? Timing was critical. Did you ever get in trouble for being too rough and didn't realize you were? Have you ever gotten in trouble for having a bad attitude and you didn't realize you had a bad attitude? Girls, you never had that problem. Have you ever thought something was funny and then got in trouble for thinking that it was funny? I know you never had that, but I've laughed at wrong times before. There's nothing like laughing at the wrong time in church and all of a sudden you feel your dad go, whack! We weren't allowed to sit too far away. Then, and as I got older, once I got to about 7th, 8th grade, we had what we called the teen section in church. The preacher let all the teenagers sit together. Why he ever did that, I don't know. But we were allowed to sit on this section in the first 4, 5, 6 rows. And we all packed together. And every once in a while, somebody would be acting up. And he'd say, teenagers, you look at me. Every parent in there. You know, you could feel the barbs going down your neck. And the first question after church, was he talking to you? No. Yeah, right. You're going to get in trouble anyway. And honestly, go talk to the preacher. It wasn't me. And sometimes it was. Did you ever frustrate someone by wanting them to decide what they want instead of you deciding? That happens in marriage. What do you want? I don't care. What do you want? And then you get a fight over what you want. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You know, where do you want to eat? I don't care. I have million-dollar ideas. I want to start a restaurant chain called I Don't Care. Can you imagine? You could have such a novelty menu, you know, whatever. You could do all these crazy things. I know it's a million-dollar idea. I don't have time for it. have you ever gotten people upset for, I talked about this morning, planning as you go? Planning as you go means you didn't have enough character to plan before you went, just so you know. And people get upset with that. You're thinking, man, I just want to go there and find out what there is to do and then go do it and just go with the flow. And then you got people upset at you and you're thinking, man, this is great. And everybody else is about ready to kill each other. Now, that's kind of like driving from point A to point B. You know it's going to take you 20 hours and, oh, we can stop at the next stop for food. And then you've got to go another 300 miles before there's food, amen? Or it's 9 o'clock at night and everything's shut down and you got to wait till 6 o'clock in the morning when they open up and everybody's bellies are going in there, amen? Tonight, I have a simple answer to all of this. The answer may be even a bit silly, but it's profound. Hang on. Thought I was kidding when I said I kicked the bucket. The answer is this: bucketfuls and spoonfuls. Bucketfuls and spoonfuls. Say, what do you mean? You see, many of us have a bucketful of what we should have a spoonful of. And too many of us have a spoonful of what we need a bucketful of. And we get our proportions out of whack. Most of the time, we get in trouble not because of the material that's in there, but how much of it we give or how little of it we give. Everybody understand where I'm coming from? You see, if you make a cake and you put 4 cups of salt in it and 1 tablespoon of flour, you're not going to like the results. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You put 4 cups of baking powder in that thing, and you're not going to like it either. You say, what is that? You've put a bucket full of what you should have put a spoonful of, and you should have had a bucket full of the other. Amen? And it's not that you don't put salt in the cake. It's you put way too much of it in there. Now, many times we find ourselves in messes, bitterness, and outright trouble because we used a bucket instead of a spoon, or we used the spoon instead of the bucket. By the way, this is just a cleaning bucket from here at the church, so never mind, I'm not going there. Now, it's not that we did not have the right substance, but we used the wrong amount. Let me show you what I mean. Let's say that Connor's house was on fire. I said, Connor, I'm a fireman. I'm going to come take care of the fire tonight. I'm going to put the fire out. I like that. Maybe I should have used the bucket, huh? No. A fireman coming to your house with a spoon to put the fire out at your house isn't going to do an awful lot, is it? You want the guy coming that's got the hose that's going to pump it out 300 gallons a minute or more. You say, why? Because a spoonful on a house fire isn't going to do much. It really isn't. And I hate to say it, you get enough of these, you could probably put some damage to it, but it's not going to do enough. But sure enough, if the fire truck pulled up and all the firemen jumped out with a spoon, and they're going to take the puddle out from inside your house to put your fire out, you're in trouble. you might as well get the hot dogs out and just start roasting them because it's over, baby. Now, that is the way most of us approach things in life. Boys and girls, I want you to listen to me. I can keep you from getting in more trouble. I really can. If you'll listen to preacher tonight, I can help you. Mamas and daddies, I can help you be a little less frustrated with your children if you'll listen to the other side of what I'm saying. Here we go. Number one, you ready? Sin is sometimes too much of or not enough of a good thing. Sin is often too much of or not enough of a good thing. Now, let me show you what I mean. Did you know that talking is not bad? Amen, ladies. All right. Talking is not bad. I make my living talking, called preaching. Amen. But my Bible also says in Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 19, in a multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. Uh-oh. Here's what happens. Some of us talk too much. Then we start talking in areas we should not talk. And then we get into sin because of what we've talked about. Or we get into evil and decide, well, we've talked through everything. Let's start talking about bad about somebody. It's called gossip. Filthy. It's vile. I'd rather have 10 thieves in my church than one gossip. I really would. Gossip is of the devil. Gossip is evil. Stealing is sin. Gossip is evil. Evil's far worse. Everybody doing all right? I'd rather have 10 alcoholics than one gossip. See, a gossip is going to go after people. By the way, that's why it's going to be a cold day where the booger man lives. That's a nice way of saying a certain place. I disagree. There is no thing in the Bible that says if Ron Kisner sinned this week that he's supposed to come up here, stand before the church and tell the whole church what he did that was wrong. That's called gossip. Not going to do you any good to know what he did wrong anyway. It's only between him and God, not between him and you. And if he sinned against you and he won't get it right and you came to me, I'll call Brother Ron in and say, Brother Ron, I think you need to fix this. Everybody doing all right? Yes, that's where it's supposed to stay. Not you run your mouth all over the church telling everybody what Brother Ron did to you. Amen. Now, I don't know what Brother Ron did to you, but just shut up. Amen. And that was just an illustration, just so you know. Can I tell you something? I've heard preachers, Baptist preachers, get up and say, well, there are certain sins that the whole church should know about. That's wicked as hell. That's right. That's wrong. Yes, I'm against that. I've been preaching against it for 35 years. Guess what? I'm not going to stop. Amen. Say why? Because I believe in preaching the truth. In a multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. Hang on. Buckle your seatbelt. Here it is. Most of you have a bucket full of social media and you need a spoonful. Most of you have a bucket full. I didn't have a barrel or I'd have brought one in. Most of you have a barrel full of Facebook and you only have a spoonful of real talking. Let's look at your Facebook and find out what has been said on there and by whom it was said on there. Now listen to me, that should not have been talked about. More gossip, more evil, more negativity spread through social network than anything I know on the face of the earth today. And here's the thing, you can be a coward about it because you don't have to face anybody with it. Listen to me. Did you know that not telling all the truth is sin? Boys and girls, listen to me. When mom or dad or the teacher or some leader asks you, you should tell them all the truth, not just the part that helps you. Everybody doing all right? You say, well, I did tell the truth, just not all of it. That's called lying. That is withholding truth, which is sin. Yes, sir. Guess what? You're not supposed to tell the truth just when it helps you. You're supposed to tell the truth. Everybody doing all right? You're supposed to tell mom and dad all the truth, whether it helps you or whether you're going to get punished for it. But tell the truth. It will help you in the long run. Boy, so many of us have a spoonful of truth and a bucket full of withholding the truth. And I'm just going to go ahead and say this. Parents, you're not supposed to feed your children a spoonful of truth. You're supposed to give them a bucket full of truth. And if you'll listen to me, I can help you. I know parents my whole life, not my parents, but I've known parents that won't take their children to a funeral because they're afraid their children will be scared. That's lying to your children. They need to know that death is a part of life. My children grew up at funeral homes. When you're a preacher, you're around death a lot. Can I tell you something? My kids aren't afraid to death. Guess what? There are some things. Oh, okay, there's things that happen in church, and my wife and my daughter and my children, they don't find out just like you don't find out. Can I tell you why? None of their business. That's my job. My wife is not my sounding board. I don't go home and tell my wife all the negative that happens. Say why? I go home to get encouraged. I don't need to discourage the one supposed to encourage me. Amen? But if something's going to happen, I tell them the truth. Just like I tell you the truth. Boy, that's a good statement. Take your Bible, turn to James chapter 4. I'm going to show you a verse before I give you the principle here. Because some people mistake the truth here. James chapter 4. Watch this, verse 17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. To him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Too much knowledge of good, and too little application of good is sin. When we know we're to do good, but we do not do it, it's sin. When Thomas knows not to pull his sister's hair because it's not going to be good, but he does it anyway, it's sin. And when Ebony knows Thomas is going to get in trouble for it, and she says, Mom, Thomas pulled my hair. She didn't tell Mom that it was 3 days ago that Thomas pulled her hair. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Everybody know what I'm talking about? See, I defended both of you, just so you know. Because I don't know that that happened. All right? She still has hair, so he probably didn't do it recently. All right? Now, modern education withholds good. The average educator in America today is about worthless. They teach theory. They teach things that are not true. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Can I tell you something? Watch this. An educator, and you find this usually at the college level, not as much in the high school and in lower levels, but if you went to college, did you ever have a professor that thought he was smart? And he tried to test in such a way to where nobody could ever get a good grade in his class. To me, those kind of educators are worthless. When I was as an educator, it was not my job to get up and show off to everybody how much I knew and how little they knew. It was my job to translate the material that I did know so that they could take it and use it for the rest of their life. By the way, that's real education. It's not how much you think you know. Global warming. Oh, we're going to be in trouble. The whole world's going to flood. In the last 200 years, the earth has warmed by 0.3 degrees. Your body can't even register 0.3 degrees, first of all. Second of all, if you listen to what they say computer models say. Okay, a computer model doesn't talk. We've already proven it wrong. Oh, our carbon footprint is too big. We're going to lose all the plants in the world. Plants breathe carbon dioxide. And when they breathe the carbon dioxide, they give off oxygen. Now listen to me very carefully. Modern Christianity, you have a bunch of lily-livered, sissy-britches preachers getting up there trying to show off how much they know about that Bible, but you walk away saying, boy, I could never do that. You know, kind of like Gomer Pyle, Shazam! I didn't know that. Well, just so you know, God's saying, where'd you get that? They think they know more than God. Can I tell you something? You're supposed to be able to use what you hear from the Word of God. It's not a place where you come like a museum and learn some interesting facts and walk away and say, wow, that was neat. Okay. I better move on. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. Too many people have a bucket load of anger, not a spoonful. Folks, I hate to tell you something. Your preacher's got a short fuse. But you've never seen it go off. Because I choose when it gets lit. My fuse is no shorter and no longer than anybody else's. It's not. You choose when you lose it. You see, well, I just have a hot temper. Then cool it off. Character yourself. I know what makes me mad. Some of you don't even know what makes you mad. Some of you, life makes you mad. But it doesn't matter. Figure out what makes you mad. Figure out what calms you down. And when you get mad, go take a walk and figure out how to fix that thing. Quit blowing up every time. Fellas, rearing children can make a man mad. Yeah. Can I tell you why? Because we want it now. Boom. You know, if he walks through the door and dinner's not ready yet, his stomach's going to eat a hole all the way through his backbone, amen? And he's ready, you know. And they come out of the womb that way if they're boys. You know, a girl, you can calm her down. A boy, forget it, man. If he's hungry, the whole world's got to stop till he puts it in the pie hole, amen? Now, wait a minute. We're supposed to be angry, but we're not supposed to sin while we do it. Do you know I'm supposed to get angry at sin? I hate sin. I hate what sin does to people. I hate the fact that there's going to be boys and girls tonight go home and their daddy's going to beat their mama because he comes home drunk. I hate the fact that there's going to be families that have a mama that's out running around on the town living like a dog while the kids are at home. I hate what sin does. I hate the fact that a drunk driver is going to cross over and kill somebody tonight because he's sinning by driving while he's drunk. He shouldn't even been drinking it in the first place, and our government shouldn't be making money off of it. Now listen to me very carefully. I can get angry at sin. By the way, I'm not mad at the sinner. I'm not angry at the sinner. I think they need the gospel, but may I say this, I get mad at the devil. I get mad at what sin does to people. I'm not mad at the gossiper, but I'm going to put a squelch on it. Amen? And we don't have a problem with it. That's why I preach on it. But we better not have problems with it. You see, one reason I don't have Facebook, and you're not going to follow our church on Facebook or Twitter, because number one, I'm not a Twitter. I don't do that kind of stuff. I don't have time for it, first of all. Second of all, I hate to tell you this, who you're linked to and who they're linked to and who they're linked to and who they're linked to, it's all interrelated, and you can't control it. You really can't. And you can work at it. You can make it as good as you can. And I understand it's an easy way now for people to stay in touch. Somebody recently said, well, don't you want to stay in touch with people you went to high school with 30 plus years ago? If I haven't talked to them in 30 years, what do I need to talk to them now for? I'm not kidding. Well, people you went to college with, you've lost contact with them. You could reach out and touch someone. If they haven't cared enough about me, nor me about them in the last 25 years, and I have lost contact with them, guess what? There's probably a reason. There's probably a reason. Now, sin is sometimes too much of one thing or not enough of a thing. Number two, Maturity is knowing the proper balance between spoonfuls and bucketfuls. Did you know adults are supposed to know when to use a bucket and when to use a spoon? Immaturity usually has the right stuff, but they have the wrong proportion. Connor, come on up here for a second, buddy. Connor's my buddy. I pick on him, but he's like a booger. Amen. Connor's my buddy here. Did you know that boys this size, they want to be a man? And sometimes they try to do what a man does, but they do it at the wrong time. Men comb their hair. No, some men have hair. ouch, gotcha, Brother Barnes. Yeah, he thinks it's marble, but anyway, it's just countertop. It's just a formica. Listen to me. Did you know a boy this size wants to be a man? And sometimes in front of men, he'll do what men do, but he hadn't earned the right to do it yet. He's trying to be. He's trying to act just like a man. But you're trying to get a bucket full, but you're using a spoon. We're not mad at you. You just got to learn when to use it. And sometimes a man's using a spoon, and he'll bring the bucket. Can I tell you something? You pour a bucket at the wrong time, you're going to get in trouble, son. Trust me. I found that out. My mom used to mop with a bucket. I fell in that bucket so many times. Some of y'all remember the old days, you used to put a little bit of kerosene in the water to clean the floor. I fell into a bucket full of kerosene water. My mom couldn't get me out of that bucket. She threw me back in that thing more times than I fell in it. Say, why? I got too close to the bucket. She'd say, stay away from that bucket. Okay, Mom. Man, I'd fall in that thing every time. Thank you, Connor. Now listen to me. Sometimes immaturity, and I'm not saying he's an immature person, but by age, in comparison, you're what, 11? 10? I'm 47, be 48 this month. I'm 47, 48. I'm almost five times older than he is. I'm supposed to know when to use these. He's still learning. Now, immaturity needs to listen to somebody that knows what they're doing so they don't make the mistake again. Amen? But maturity is supposed to know. By the way, listen to this statement. Motive is not the issue. Well, I wonder why he did what he did. Because he's a boy. Who cares? We want to be God. We want to judge everybody's motive. You know, I'm not supposed to judge his motive for why he did what he did. My dad, when I hit the ball through Mr. C's window next door, didn't say, why did you do that? I got whomp because I did it. Didn't matter why I did it. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Now, to me, it was an accident. To him, it was, I told you not to hit the ball that direction, period, end of discussion. I became a place hitter. Can I tell you why? Because I was afraid my dad's going to beat me if I hit that thing in the wrong spot, amen? I learned how to place that ball so I didn't hit the neighbor's house and the neighbor's windows. It was real bad when we knocked windows out of the houses on the other side of the block, you know? We got a little too strong. Okay, take the bat somewhere else, all right? And we did do that from time to time. You see, motive is not the issue. What is done is the issue. Mamas, daddies, you need to discipline your kids because of what was done, not why it was done. That will keep you from being God. Amen? By the way, our justice system needs to get back, and our news media needs to get back to what was done, not why it was done. Everybody wants to be God and say, well, this is why we're doing this. We've got riots because people don't have jobs. We've got riots because all this anger is pent up. We've got riots because oh, wait a minute. The issue is not why, what was done. Period. Everybody doing all right? Man, that's good stuff. For us to teach someone else the right amount, we have to know what the right amount is. For us to teach someone what the right amount is, we have to know what the right amount is. Let's not get angry with immaturity. Let's teach them the right balance. Did you know Connor doesn't know what I know? Say, why? He ought to know. Why? I've lived almost five times longer. Some of you gray hairs, listen to me. Don't get mad at the preacher. Some of you are all upset with this generation. They don't know how to do anything. Bless God, when I was their age, okay, they're not your age. And they didn't grow up in your age. And they didn't grow up on a farm. They didn't grow up in the country. They really didn't. They've not had anybody teach them. This morning, I asked Brother Mike to help me with the situation. I had somebody came in who, and I wouldn't want to embarrass them, but they were doing something that they needed a little nudge with. Now watch this. I said, Brother Mike, I said, I don't think they've ever heard anybody teach them how they're supposed to do this. And I don't want to come across too harsh by me doing it. Do you think you could do it for me? He said, sure, preacher. I wasn't even mad at it. It wasn't something that was wrong or immoral. It would have rubbed some of you the wrong way, though. And I was trying to keep some of you from getting upset. Say why? That guy didn't even know. He really didn't. He had never been taught his whole life. I wasn't upset. I wasn't even judging his motive. Motive wasn't the issue. He just never had heard. And be careful you don't judge everybody. They didn't grow up in the Depression. They don't understand. They don't understand you can fix things. Now, today things are made so you can't fix them. But there was a day when something broke, you fixed it. When your shoe wore out, you got it resold. Now, it literally cost as much or more to resole a shoe than it does to go buy another pair. I remember resoling shoes. I don't do it anymore because it costs me as much to get them resold as it does to go buy a new pair. It's sad, but it's true. They don't make things to repair anymore like they used to. Now, some of you that are real good at that, you can prolong it more than some. But guy like me, that it's 1-800-MEL-BUSH, amen? If he can't fix it, then we go get one, amen? You know, I got to hurry. I got about 7 or 8 minutes, and I got one more point here. And it kind of goes with it. So number one, sin is sometimes too much of or too little of something. Maturity is knowing the proper balance between spoonfuls and bucketfuls. And lastly, let's have the right kind of balance in our life. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And again, I hope the simplicity of the truth, you don't lose the importance. Ephesians 4:32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Did you know we can be kind to all people? Did you know somebody that hates my guts, I can be kind to? You don't preach like I preach and not get enemies. A lady came to my office this morning, Brother Stoltz. She said, preacher, I met somebody that knew you. I could tell by the look on her face, Brother Mike, this wasn't going to be a positive conversation. And I said, was it duck or pucker? She said, it was duck. You better cover up because incoming. And said that, and this dear lady, bless her heart, she said, now, preacher, I stood up for you. They started criticizing you. I said, you hush up. That's my preacher. You don't know the truth. I said, good for you. I said, do me a favor. Don't tell me what it was about. I don't need to know. I didn't even listen to it. But can I tell you something? If they walk through that door, I'll walk up and shake their hand and say, glad you're here. Now, they're not going to be teaching and preaching here before they've proven themselves. I can forgive a rattlesnake for biting somebody. That doesn't mean I'm going to go pick it up and say, oh, you're all forgiven. I trust you. Forgiveness does not mean trust. Everybody doing all right? Oh, forgive and forget. Uh-uh, baby. I can forgive without forgetting. And I have no problem forgiving, but the forgetting, that takes a while. Unless you're a certain age. Then you hide your own Easter eggs. Folks, Brother Brining, you're not smiling on that one. That worries me. I'm about to get it, amen? Folks, did you know you can be kind? But I hate to tell you something. I'm not going to be kind to the devil. You say, you get pretty strong. I'm not going to be kind to people that preach bad doctrine. My Bible says I'm supposed to be unkind to that. Do you know what Jesus did? Twice. He sat down. He made a whip out of and called it a cat of nine tails. He went into the temple and he started kicking tables over, chasing people out, saying, "Yeah, yeah, get out of here." That's Jesus. Jesus isn't this picture of this long-haired sodomite that walked around with a robe on and wiggled when he walked. Amen. Going, peace, 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 and talk quiet. Oh, I love, 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 love. Fishermen don't leave their fishing business to follow a guy that wiggles when he walks. Right. Tax collectors don't give up their business of making money to follow a guy that wiggles when he walks. Just so you know, the Bible says they left their nets, they left their business and followed him. Manly men don't follow a guy like that. Just so you know. Now, Jesus did love, but he got up and scathed people. He called them, "Oh, ye generation of vipers. You're whited sepulcher full of dead men's bones. You look good on the outside. You clean the outside of the cup, but the inside's full of dirt, filth, and defilement." Ooh, wow. Bunch of Pharisees, bunch of religious people had a woman cornered and said, "We caught her in the very act of adultery. They had stones in their hand getting ready to stone them. And they said, "What do you say, Jesus?" He said, "If you got no sin, why don't you throw the first stone?" The Bible says they all, and he stooped down and started writing in the sand. And one by one, oldest to youngest, they started dropping the stones and walking away. Say, what was that? He was the only one that didn't have sin. That's why he didn't throw a stone. Now, wait a minute. We may need to be tender with people because they're hurting. You know, there are people that hurt and need tenderness. Sometimes they act a little mean. Did you ever have a headache? A bad one? And you get a little cranky because of it? Did you ever think somebody's having a bad day? You know, I allow people to have a bad day. Now, some of you live expecting everybody else to put up with your crankiness. This does not excuse rudeness. I was talking to somebody today. They said, "Preacher, do you think I was too rough on this situation?" I said, "No." I said, "I don't apologize for my position. If my disposition offends somebody, I'll apologize. But folks, I'm not apologizing for that book right there. I'm not apologizing for the fact that we're all sinners bound for hell and we need a Savior and His name is Jesus Christ. He paid it in full. I'm not apologizing for that. I'm not apologizing for the fact you don't get saved by getting baptized. You don't get saved by coming to this altar and telling the preacher all the bad things you did. You don't get saved by the good works you do. You get saved by trusting what Jesus Christ did for you to take you to heaven. I'm not apologizing for that. Anybody teaches you anything else, they're a heretic and a liar." Boy, that's good. Listen to me. Well, we need to be kind. They're just acting out their anger right now. No, they need somebody to grab them by the ear, take them home, beat the snot out of them until they act right. You know, my dad would put up with a lot, but I watched my brother backtalk my mom one time. I decided what happened to him, I didn't want happening to me, and I didn't do it. Amen. Smite the scorner and the simple will beware. You can call it what you want. Well, you shouldn't paddle a child. You'll warp their psyche. My dad never called it a psyche, but he warped it many a time. Oh, that's violence. That's brutality. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise it. Just so you know, we have people running the streets like animals attacking right because they have no fear. Okay? I'm going to make a statement here. Hang on. We need to be kind at home more than we're kind with strangers. Boys and girls, it's a sin. Some of you are more kind with your friends at school or at church than you are at your own home with your brother or your sister. Man, it's getting quiet in here. Did everybody leave? Yeah, buddy, chickens just roosted, amen? Hey, fellas, you shouldn't treat the ladies at work kinder than you treat your wife. Ladies, you shouldn't treat your husband less than you treat the fellas that you work around. Why is it we treat the ones closest to us the worst? Do you know I answer my wife and my daughter, yes, ma'am? My daughter's 17. From the time she was able to talk, which was about 3 months. From the time she's been able to talk, I answered her, yes, ma'am. I answered my boys, yes, sir. They weren't my leader, but I was teaching them to answer, yes, sir, yes, yes, ma'am, to their mom and dad. I talk to you all that way. Can I tell you why? Some of you boys, I'm working on you. It's not, yeah, ooh, man. My dad would jerk my tongue out and beat me over the head with it. It's, yes, sir, yes, sir. I'm not angry with you. I'm just trying to teach you. We got to get back to respect in America. You see, why is it that we treat somebody else outside the four walls of our house kinder and more tenderly than we do anybody else? We'll treat everybody out there great, but we go home, hey, woman, you stupid. Oh, man, God help you. There's not a woman in this church that's been treated as kindly by me as I treat my wife, I promise you. Not a one. I may not treat her like you treat yours, but let me say this. You can ask my wife. She knows I respect her. She knows I love her. She knows I'll treat her with respect. I treat my mom with respect most of the time. I'm playful. I scare the bejeebers out of her. I like scaring my mom. There's just something about it that's exciting. And now I can get away from her faster, amen? I just do that. Now, I've always been one that picked and that kind of thing. And that's okay. Now, wait a minute. We ought to treat people at home better than we... I'm going to read what I put in my notes. Your spouse deserves more kindness than someone who pays you money. Some of you will treat somebody that's going to pay you money with great respect, and you'll treat your wife or your husband like a dog. Man. Bucketfuls and spoonfuls. Some of you think I poured the bucket tonight. Nope, I brought the barrel. We need to learn, it's not always what's the material. It's how much and when we use it. Instead of putting 4 cups of salt in the cake, let's just put one of these and 4 cups of flour, amen? It's not that you don't have all the right components, but you're going to come out with a bitter mess if you don't use the right proportions. And may I say this, some of you are going to come out with a bitter mess in your life because you're not using the right proportions. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm almost embarrassed by the simplicity, but we need it. I need it. I was preaching to me tonight. Who would say, preacher, if I die today, I know 100% sure. I don't have any doubt at all that I'd go to heaven. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. I won't embarrass you. I won't call your name. But who would say, preacher, if I died tonight, I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven. never really thought about it, maybe, but I'm not sure. Would you raise your hand? I'll not call you out. All right, there's a little one, someone else. Who'd say, preacher, tucked away in that truth is something I really needed tonight. Certain area, maybe an area you touched, maybe an area you didn't even touch, but I needed it. Would you raise your hand? All right, hands everywhere. God bless you. In a moment, we'll stand to our feet. When we stand to our feet, the piano will begin to play. If you raised your hand, why don't you come forward? Just kneel here at the altar and tell God what you need to fix in your life.